Reading this morning comes from Philippians 2, 1-11, and I'm reading from the NIV. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking down on your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Thank you, Mike. Do turn to the person next to you and share what leapt out from the reading.
Okay. People want to call out what stood out for them in the passage?
The mindset of Christ Jesus.
The mindset of Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? What was it that stood out for you, Lee?
That we are to have the mindset.
Yeah, Isn't that a deep, profound thought? That actually it's an invitation that which means that it's possible to have the mindset of Christ Jesus. Wouldn't you want to have that? Wouldn't you want to think like Jesus thinks? Wouldn't you like to be dwelling upon the things that Jesus dwells upon, loving the things that he loves? You know? You can have that. That's enough for a sermon. Anyone else?
Can we go home now?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, John. Yeah.
And sought no advantage.
Yes.
He made himself truly one of us.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely phenomenal.
The challenges of when you're really tired, yeah, from lots of things going on.
Yeah.
And trying to focus that Jesus is there in the midst of all that.
Yes, that's right.
Let's bring the love back into that.
That's right. There's something about that, because of his pursuit down to be with us, means that he's with us in everything. Yeah, it's not like he's a king that's far away in a palace that knows nothing of your pain or knows nothing of your situation. I was chatting with Tim Russell, who's our people's warden, this last week, and he was talking about it just had dawned on him again afresh that when Jesus died on the cross, he was dying as a slave, because that's what the cross was for. It was for slaves and political uprisings, yeah, which means that he comes down to that level. So even if you're a slave, you're included in his redemption. Do you know what I mean? Everybody. It's so vast. Any last thoughts? There was enough there, eh, wasn't there? Shall I pray and then we'll jump into a couple of things? Jesus, we are so, so blessed by you and your love. We're astounded by your pursuit to be with us. And we thank you that you are here right now. Thank you that you are ministering to us, to our minds. Bless your name. Bless us in this time, that we would even be transformed deeper to have your mindset. In Jesus' name, amen. This passage is just an absolute beautiful one. Definitely worth adding to your list of things to memorize. You know, we've talked about memorization of scripture, and if you're trying to remember how we did that a few weeks back, and the sermon for that, which gives a couple of key tools for that, is on our website. If you go to our website, you can click resources. I'm not quite sure how you get there. Is it along the top? Have a hunt around the website. But there's a resources page. There's a resources page which has a couple of things on there. One is it talks about Sabbath and rest, because we were talking about that recently. And then there's another thing on there about memorization of Scripture. And memorizing Scripture is something that does transform our mind. And Jesus himself did that. He would have memorized the entire of the Hebrew Scriptures. He would have had them totally memorized. And that would have shaped his human mind. Does that make sense? So his humanity was soaked in the goodness of God. So memorizing this passage is really important. I'm just going to talk about it briefly because I want to dive into what we're looking at for the rest of this term. But the Philippi is a city in just around the edge of the Mediterranean. It was taken over by Philip of Macedon, who's Alexander the Great's father. So it was a big, wealthy city. It actually was a mini Rome. So all the rules that took place in Rome took place in Philippi, and all of the old generals of the Roman army would retire to Philippi. It was like the retirement village place of that. And so you can imagine old, fat Roman emperors and what they got up to with their money and with their indulgences and all that sort of stuff. But there was so much pursuit of status that in the graves that they have found, as they've dug up in Philippi, the graves they found is that where they put names for people, they also put the status that they existed in. So, for example, it would be Caleb Vicar, you know. But the status in society would mean middle class. Yeah, or it would be Caleb slave. Yeah, except the slaves, only a few of those had gravestones. Most of them didn't have them because they were property. Does that make sense? If you want more detail of this, again, you can jump to our website. And a couple of years ago, Michelle preached on Philippians, and it was an absolute stonking sermon about this status stuff. So much so that Din Bandara, who's out with his child, life was utterly changed by that sermon. Because it was a discussion of that in our world, we seek upward mobility. That if you're part of this strata in society, what you want to do is to move to this one. If you're part of this one, you want to move to this one. That was exactly the same in Philippi. They wanted to go up to the next level of, I want to be seen more. I want to go up the career ladder. I want more people to think well of me. I want to own more things. Does that make sense? It's exactly the same as we have today. And into that space, Jesus totally subverts that and pursues this route. Even though he was in the very nature God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He takes the opposite route, yeah? Taking the very nature of a slave, which is the bottom of the list. That's what Paul is writing to here, yeah? And then he was crucified. Yes? He's putting himself right down here. This is the movement. This is the way that God works. I want us to pause for a moment and think about what that was like for God to do that. Our sermon series for the next, between now and Christmas, is called Love Came Down. Because I want us to grasp love. The next bit in this Philippians passage goes on to talk about us being lights in the world and us modeling what it looks like to love God and to have an impact upon everyone around us. And we looked at that last term about how we can be disciples, how we can make a difference in our community. But undergirding that, we need to be constantly renewed in the fact that we are the beloved, that we are loved, that God is love. And that's what we need to root ourselves in. So I just want to take a moment to think about what God was like here and what he became. This is basically my sermon in a sentence. God moved from here to here. Okay? I don't know if you've ever thought about that. Thought about what Jesus was like before he became a baby. Well, he was the Logos. Like the Word made flesh. In Colossians chapter 1, it says he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were made. Do you realize that? All things were made through Jesus. So the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit are one, and in this kind of place of creation at the beginning of time, Jesus, all things are made through Jesus. He speaks and it comes. You know, right back, are you with me? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 in the beginning. Yes? God created the heavens and the earth. That's Jesus. The earth was formless and void, and darkness hovered over the deep. And then God said, who said that? Jesus. His name wasn't Jesus at that moment in time. His name was the Word. It was the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. Yeah? Something magical happens at the incarnation. But it's Jesus at that moment. Jesus says, let there be light. And what happens? Are you with me? There was darkness and cosmic gas. Are you with me? Imagine it. The light across the universe had never existed. And it's just going and going and going and going beyond you can imagine. Explosion. Carbon suddenly exists where it had never existed before. Nuclear fission is happening in colors that you have never even seen, that the telescopes that point out into the universe can't comprehend, just because Jesus said, let there be light. Have you got special effects going on in your head? I hope so. That is what it was like, except that's nothing like what it was like. It was way, way bigger. Your eardrums wouldn't be able to solve it. Maybe that's why we were made later. You know, our hearts wouldn't be able to comprehend that beauty, that vastness. Have you seen the size of the universe? Have you seen any some of the pictures that they produced recently where they stuck that telescope into a gap of darkness? They went, well, we'll choose that little tiny smidge of a black bit over there. What's the telescope called? The Hubble telescope points to that little tiny place and then shoots photographs. And then suddenly what we see is millions of galaxies in that bit. It's vast. It's magnificent. You know, and it gets better. He makes the earth. He makes land and sea. He makes tectonic plates and gravity and... You've been there, done that? You made tectonic plates? You made Play-Doh, that's right, yeah. Well, it's a little taste. It's a little bit like it. Not quite, but it's a little bit like it. It's a bit like that. It's a little bit like the real thing. But you know what I mean? He makes that. You know, have you stood at the sea and seen the colors? Yep. Have you seen the depth of fish that takes place and the magnificence of their movements? I love that bit in Job 38 where it talks about that there are places where flowers grow which no one has ever seen, but they grow because he sees them. Isn't that awesome? There are meadows that no one has ever seen, flowers that no one's seen but him. Just beauty upon beauty upon beauty. I love in that passage, it talks about the wild donkeys. He says, who let the wild donkeys go free? Who? Anyone else in my generation? Yeah, thanks, Miriam. You know, like, what, it's vast. This is Jesus who proclaims that. And Jesus, and what happens is his life comes into the first humans. His life comes in, souls and beauty, suddenly hearts that can comprehend love, that can have imagination, that can act out kindness, that can deliver forgiveness with one another, that can help and share with one another. Isn't that beautiful and amazing? That came from him. That came from his mind. He thought of that. Yeah? He created that. The vastness of him. And then he becomes nothing more than a seed. Are you with me? He became physical where he'd never been physical before. And he became tiny. inside a little girl's womb. Are you with me? Isn't that amazing? Isn't that phenomenal? I was just thinking this morning in the shower as I was praying through this sermon, I just reminded of a couple of songs. The joy of heaven. The joy of heaven to earth come down. The joy of heaven to earth come down. Give up all those things. Joy to the world, for the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Yeah, let every heart prepare him room. Is heaven and nature singing? Yeah? Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and the fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. He has so much love for you. You need to know that. In whatever you have ever been through, in whatever you tell yourself, you need to know that he left the glory of heaven. He was the joy of heaven, and he became a tiny seed. You need to think about, why did he do that? And he did that because God so loved the world. Don't brush that aside as a verse you learned in Sunday school. He's here because he comes close. He comes from here to here. I would love you to realize that it was impossible for him not to do that. It's incomprehensible that he wouldn't have done that. Okay? His heart is so utterly loving that nothing could stop him coming as a baby. Nothing. Yeah, nothing. He's pursuing us. I love the end of Psalm 23. It's mine and Billy's favorite psalm. At the end of it says, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Yeah? The better translation is, goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life. It's chasing you down. It's not going to let you go. Goodness and mercy. Yeah? They're after you. His love is for you. Now, we're going to think about love for these next weeks, because we need to reshape our minds to love. The more we do that, the more we're filled with him. The more we do that, the more we have him to offer. Yeah? I want us to be purged and filled with his goodness and love. Because when we do that, it takes the space of everything else. Yeah. The trouble is that there are a number of resistances that we put up when we think of this. Yeah? And you'll have had them already this morning. When I was going, there'd have been a bit of you that would have been, oh, that's really cool, and then you'd have stopped thinking about it. Because it's too big to comprehend, yes? It's beyond our reason. You actually have to surrender to the thought, yes? You have to know his love, that's the reason piece, and then you have to experience it. The reason why you don't do that is because I think for all of us, I think this for all of us, is that we don't think we're worthy. I think everybody in this room, at the depth of their soul, has a little story that tells them that they can't receive this love because they're not good enough. I think everybody has that. And Jesus wants to touch that little place with his love. My favorite image for this comes from George Herbert's poem on love, which we're going to put up on the screen now. And I'm just going to read it through, and then we'll just kind of sit with it for a moment. It's poetry, so you can't reason it. Yeah? Love's bigger than that. There'll be some words in here you go, I don't know what that means. Neither do I. It's fine. Love bade me welcome. Yet my soul drew back, guilty of dust and sin. But quick-eyed love, observing me grow slack from my first entrance in, drew nearer to me, sweetly questioning if I lacked anything. A guest, I answered, worthy to be here. Love said, you shall be he. I, the unkind, ungrateful, my dear, I cannot look on thee. Love took my hand and smiling did reply, who made the eyes but I? Truth, Lord, but I have marred them. Let my shame go where it doth deserve. And know you not, says love, who bore the blame? Oh, my dear, then I will serve. You must sit down, says love, and taste my meat. So I did. Sit and eat. I think this speaks to our sense of when God tells us that he loves us. There's part of us that, some of us get excited by that. Some parts of us get excited by that. Some of us have journeyed deeply with Jesus and we know that he loves us. But somewhere deep inside for us, we say, I'm not worthy of that. And we hesitate. And we put up a barrier because he's too big for us. And I can't take all of that. But in this poem, it tells us that he keeps coming nearer, gently offering his love. He sees you and he says, I do love you. Come. Let's take a moment to be still. Perhaps you want to close your eyes and recognize that God is right at hand. His love came down to earth as a baby, but he is here right now by his Spirit because he wants to draw close. Let him show you more of how much he loves you. More, Holy Spirit. And if I may be so bold, just take note of where it is you're resisting him. And let him soothe that and let it go. Let him love you. Receive his love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would seal in all that you have done, even in this moment. And that this would be, even for those of us who have done this so many, many times over many, many decades, for every one of us, that we would feel your invitation right now to dwell in your love. Abide in my love, says Jesus. More of you, Lord. In Jesus' name.